What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas. I'm broadcasting live from a really beautiful Summerlin, Nevada today. It's gorgeous in this great city of Las Vegas, man. I couldn't be happier to be here with you guys on the Wagering World. Please hit that like button before you do anything if you're rocking with the Wagering World. Of course, I'm always in here with my two co-hosts. Let's start with the YG of the show, man. You know, he's the youngest dude to run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. That's my boy, Casino Royale.
Wow, what's that? I was on the milk cart, you know.
We're going to see them back. Folks looking for you, Casino. Hey, I'm about to start seeing them people knocking at your door. Casino, a young boy. He's still living the good life, you know.
Hey,
you know,
but look, one thing by Casino, hey, he definitely be on me too, on me hard. But one thing by Casino is Casino going to put in the work, and Casino going to make sure, you know, he make up for missed time. So if you follow me on Twitter, you got your winner last night. Shout out to Five Star. Yeah. I think y'all had Commanders first half.
So first half, you hit both ways.
Shout out to the Wagering World, man. Everybody's the one over here. You know, we moved. I'm excited about this weekend. Let's get some winners in, Five Star.
Hey, it's so funny. They've been so locked into the show. I think it's really, you know, entertaining the people when they see me and you go with opposite sides on games because, you know, of course, people are kind of messed up with the new culture of the way that they do sports shows due to debate now. It's all debate. So people like to see, you know, a little antagony and stuff like that between us on that, but it's really just for fun. But the other day, a guy shoots me a tweet, and he's like, you and Casino going against each other. And I say, man, no, we not. Casino has the money line, and I took the points.
We both can win. They don't understand that.
Man, we're not going against each other. He's saying the full game I got to have. But anyway, we glad to have you back, brother. Always good to see you. And, of course, we got the OG of the show. You already know he's been with me since day one, man. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I still know. What's good, brother? How are you?
Man, since I know people be watching the show and they not letting on, here's my plea to the NBA. Give us more of these one-game slates. I told you right before we started the show, Five Star, I said, that's only one game. I don't need to do an NBA show. We canceled that. I took a great hike. Now my mind is refreshed. I am relaxed, and I'm excited to go on the weekend because Sundays have been fun, but Saturdays have been money. So we got plenty of college football to break down today.
Man, usually we would have my OG Curtis Schoon on in this spot, but he's doing a lot of work with redoing the whole city of Detroit. He's doing some really powerful things. So shout out to Curtis Schoon forever, man. He's got love over here on the Wagering World. But is it really fight week anyway? I don't know.
Oh my God, bro.
Is it much to talk about? See, though, you more into the combat sports than both of us. What do you think about this exhibition tonight between Tyson and Paul?
And this is funny that it's an exhibition because you can bet on it, right? And they're saying this is going to be the most bet fight in boxing history. Like, this is nuts. Like,
wait, what?
Yes. MGM actually said that. This is going to be the most. Yes, MGM came out and said that. That this is the most action spread.
Damn, you have to understand. Since y'all just giving away money, I'm going to create a website for the way.
Go look it up, spread.
Just donate.
Go look it up. Like, this literally, this is.
Did people not watch that Roy Jones thing? He could have taken him out.
This is a huge fight. Mike Tyson is on one right now. I think he might go rogue and, you know, flip the script because it's all entertainment, dude.
That's what I'm thinking too, man.
We're gonna watch this on Netflix, you guys. This is not paid. It's free on Netflix, straight entertainment. Yeah. I don't know if people realize this. Mike Tyson, he did an interview with a little girl talking about. I don't know if you guys seen that.
Everybody seen that. That's the interview seen around the world.
Oh my God, y'all! This fight. To be honest, I thought it was yesterday. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I'm like, oh damn, it's Thursday night football. I'm tripping. It's Friday, but I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I got to grow up on Mike Tyson. A lot of the kids, they never got to see Iron Mike fight, so of course they want to see it. All they see is the highlights of him knocking people out. Everyone wants to see Jake Paul get put on the ground. If it was up to
me, I didn't like what he did. That little monkey, little move. Like, I peaked that, man. Like, we saw what you did, Jake Paul. Like,
yes, we definitely seen that. It's all fixed. I think it's all entertainment. No way in hell Jake Paul should be -250, -260 against Mike Tyson. I just definitely be enjoying it. I'll be watching it tonight. I think it's definitely.
That's all I'm doing. It's gonna be time. I'm getting involved. I'm just praying that Mike Tyson goes rogue. I got a Mike Tyson story. I'm gonna tell it real fast. I keep showing a little bit, but it's 1 week I've got baked on sports. I lost really bad. This one of the first years I was living here, but ever since we've been here, we've had a house in the Sumlin area, right? And down the street from there, It's a TD Ameritrade, right? Across from Red Rock, as you know, Sino, across from Red Rock, it's a TD Ameritrade. Now, you know, that's for stocks, and there's not a lot of black dudes who have accounts with them, but I have an account with them, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know how I dress, guys, like I am right now. I got like a black hoodie, you know, black cap on, and I'm standing for the TD Ameritrade, and I'm ticked off because I got washed by the books this week, and I need to get like $2,500 out of this account because I need some money, right? And they're telling me like they haven't sent the money yet, but I sold the stock on Friday. So I'm on the phone with the guys Monday morning. I'm like going off. I'm cussing. White people passing me by. They're not saying nothing. They're just going about their day. Mike Tyson pulls up in an Escalade, right? He stops. He looks at me. I look at him. I stand on the phone. And you know how I am, seen up, right? I'm cussing up the store. He go park. I'm still outside talking on the phone. You can tell he just came from training because he has on like some torn up, like jogging, like cut off maybe sweatshirt and some joggers on. And he's walking into TD Ameritrade. He says, "Excuse me, brother, do you have any business over here?" See, though, I put down the phone. I looked at him. I said, "What did you say?" He was like, I'm saying, but are you in the right area? I said, "Man, I'm on the phone with my stock broker, man. What is wrong with you, man?" I got back on the phone, right? He said, oh, pardon me, brother. Walked into the TD Ameritrade, right? I get the stuff handled to call my wife. I'm like, do you believe what Mike Tyson just did to me? You know, like, he kind of just racially profiled me. Like, right.
You had the right spot. Like,
kind of just racially profiled me, man. So she's just like, being the crazy stuff. I was like, maybe so. Hang up the phone. I'm walking back into the building to grab my money. Now they fixed everything. He's back in his truck. Now he stops. He said, "Hey, brother." Drops his money. He's like, "Didn't mean to offend you." It's I just don't see a lot of us over here. I say, man, I live right here in Summerlin, man. I just said that, and he was like, "Well, I'm Mike Tyson, man." I was like, "Good to meet you, man." I turned around and walked off because I was so. Like, man, get the hell away from me.
Bro, I got my own problems I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah. Like, what is wrong with you? But that's what's doing. But my homeboy Marcellus and Mike Tyson are real close. They like best friends type. So I know some other good things about him. But this day, maybe because how I was dressed, he thought that I was maybe trying to rob someone at TD Ameritrade. And he was trying to protect the neighborhood of Summerlin. So shout out to Mike Tyson.
Oh, shout out Tyson,
PTSD
man.
Tonight. All right, man. So... another thing, you missed last show. See, you know, we were talking about how they was biting a lot of stuff that we're doing over here. You made a great point in the thread. You said, I'm on ESPN, so people know me from being in that little world because of me being on ESPN Houston, even though it's an affiliate, it's still the brand.
Yes, most definitely.
See, you know, we come from the music industry. I just thought about this. Stephen A. and his team over at ESPN probably doing what record labels do.
Exactly.
And they're combing the internet and they're getting all of the best young talent and people who are making different types of takes and have different opinions and to use it to keep create, you know, for themselves to keep from being stale. Huh? We saw, I'm not going to name no artist, but he just was in a big beef with another artist. He used to do it all the time, you know, like bring these guys to the studio, let them hang with them, pick up their whole style and what the new kids are on. And run with it. So maybe we're getting, that's happening to us. That also happens in the fashion designer world. You see it all the time, man. They start some, you know, new trends in the neighborhood. Next thing you know, Gucci's doing it. Louis Vuitton's doing it. So it's not surprising at all. But what do you think about the fact that now, yesterday, Stephen A. Smith had the nerve to say that he believes that it's going to be a package deal with Coach Prime and Shador to the Cowboys, and that's Jerry Jones' dream scenario, and he's been setting up all year to do it. Have you heard that before somewhere, Cino?
No, I haven't heard that nowhere. It's crazy that you say that now, bro. I actually was querying on Twitter, right? And now everybody's talking about that. And if you go back and look at the episode of The Waging World, I think our timestamp is before any of these things were said anywhere else in the media. And again, I tell this to a lot of people. Last season, we were actually affiliates of ESPN. We were part of that branch. Like, we were ESPN Radio. We were there. You are very, very foolish if you don't think these guys are listening to the information we give. When bettors are hitting at 70% rates, they are definitely watching. They are definitely looking. I don't care who it is. The gambling community is only so big, like for real, and the waging world is well known. We might be underground, but the big dogs are checking for the underdogs. Trust me.
Spread, what do you think about Stephen A. Smith and his audacity to now take this story, put legs on it as if it's his own?
He got to do something. Ain't nobody watching them shows anymore. You know, right. at first it was kind of novel, the idea that they would debate. Now it's like, man, I'm just waking up. I don't want to hear people yelling at each other like that, right? I listen to some jazz music. I'll listen to a nice, relaxed podcast. So I think they really have problems. And not to go on too much of a tangent, but these cable networks are in trouble. Let's even look at what we just talked about, that fight tonight. And I was thinking about, starting to make sense when Cena said it's the biggest handle because you don't got to buy pay-per-view.
Oh, you're right.
You don't have to spend $80.
Right.
So if you just spend that $80 and put it on the fight, it's what you're used to.
Yeah.
I think everything's going to streaming. I was listening this morning. Prime going to try and get League Pass next year. It's going to be another blow. I wonder how much longer I'm going to have this YouTube TV. Because the only thing I really have for now is college football. And once that goes, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. So I'm not surprised they're doing this. And like you said, they've been doing this in music for years.
You know, I always say it, Spread, that we do this, you know, for the underground and for the underdogs. And my favorite artist, anyone who knows me, is Currency. Everyone knows I love listening to Currency. If you ride with me ever in the car, both of you guys have, I'm going to have Currency, maybe a little Larry June, but mostly Currency. And the reason why I like Currency so much is because he's in tune with the culture. He's respected by all the big dogs in the culture, but his music is so artistic, a lot of people don't even want to listen to it. It's only for the nerds. It's for people who want to break down and understand the concepts, and those that do that, they're able to, you know, use it and put it toward life and have some positive outcomes. And I try to do the same thing with the Waving World, with our show. We all take pride in being able to really discuss these games and come from a real point of view as respected bettors and sharps, man, where we're telling you how to attack these games in a way that's just not football, but in a way for you to make some money, man. And we're going to stay true to it. We're never going to change up. You don't have to worry about that on the Waving World, man. Hey, it's us versus the machine. Hit that like button right now. Let's get to the pass, Spread.
All right. We got plenty to talk about. And the first game on the docket is last night's Thursday night football game. The dream season for Jaden Daniels hit a little bit of a speed bump, right? It's not over yet. But we see that there's a reason this team was in fourth place and drafted second overall. And the Eagles have been Super Bowl contenders for the last 5 years. The addition of Saquon Barkley continues to pay dividends. You see him behind that offensive line and you realize, hey, football is a team sport. You can be great individually all you want, but you need the full team moving that way. And you see him behind a real offensive line. Unbelievable there. So Philadelphia Eagles get the win. They move into first place in the NFC East. What did you see in that one, Five-Star?
Man, anyone that watches enough of my work know that I really don't play totals, but the numbers and lines from this lean toward the over. So I did have a heavy lean that way, but my group did not play. We only made two plays, and that was first half on the Commanders +3 and the Commanders first half +158. And the reason being, as we've said so many times, if you watch the show, if you watch anywhere that I do any of my work, I've talked about the Eagles have not scored in the first quarter all season. They still haven't. And for some reason, they start really slow. And they're a really good second half team. You bet them second half if you're going to bet the Eagles. First half, you fade them because you already are going to be up after the first quarter because they just don't score in the first quarter. And we saw that again in this one as Dan Quinn comes out with a really good plan defensively. Great job. Like I said, they have a no-name defense over there. Dan Quinn still makes those boys play really hard. They hustle to the ball. As I always say, I only know the linebacker, and that's Bobby Wagner, because he was with Seattle. The rest of those kids, I don't even know their names, and they play really well for him. I think their future is just unbelievably bright. Jaden Daniels is about to hit that part of the season that's like a kind of cliff with him being a young quarterback. They played 12 games max his whole life. Then you have a big break in the bowl games. Now it's grown man football. As you saw last night, he didn't look as quick and fast as he usually looks, right, because he's hurt. He's hurt. So they're not putting out how bad he's hurt. He's really hurt because I could see in the open field how he was moving. He didn't look like himself. So he'll tough it out and put some weight on in the offseason. Hopefully it doesn't affect his quickness the way that it affected Lamar's. As far as the Eagles, as long as, you know, A.J. Brown plays, they're going to be a good team. They have a really dynamic offense, really good leader quarterback. Saquon Barkley might be the MVP of the league. He's a really awesome player, man, having a phenomenal year in Philadelphia. And I'm glad he's with an organization that appreciates him. Now, the only problem, as we all know, is Sirianni. Can he get out the way and allow the team to do what it needs to do? He made some good coordinator hires. Vic Fangio's defense is starting to shape and perform, and they're looking really good. But I think the Eagles are going to be around, man. I would not be surprised if they get to the Super Bowl.
One thing I want to touch on, the point you made on why maybe the Eagles start slow, and I think it's one of the edges we have, as you know, Sino and I both run numbers, and you really like to watch these games. And one thing I always say about the analytics community, when they want you to pass every down and the EPA is so much higher for a pass than a run, what you don't realize is the amount of fatigue a defensive line and linebackers can accrue by having the offensive lineman move forward and blocking every time. So they probably start slow, but what are they doing? If it was a video game, that energy counter on that defense is going down, down, down. Yeah. Now in the second half, Saquon's able to get loose, and those guys don't have the same juice to get after the passer. So Hurts is sitting back there throwing darts. So it's just another way where you can figure out EPAs and yards per attempt and all this. But the simple fact is, at the end of the day, this game is won in the trenches, and the Eagles do wear you down. Sino, what did you see in that game?
Damn, five-star broke it down good. You also, the trenches is where it all started. Big number 68, they were showing him all over the screen last night, offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was doing what he had to do to make sure Jalen was protected. And like I said, man, this Commanders team, they're still young. They're susceptible to turnover problem, man. I put that on Twitter yesterday. Whenever Reed, he got that interception, I was like, oh, yeah, it's over with for these guys. Took the fight out of him. And Daniels had also hurt his hand in that game yesterday. When I seen that, he went to the tent. They tried to, you know, stitch him up or glue him up, whatever they did, like that of that nature. I was like, he doesn't have it all. And Five Star said it best. He's hurt. I seen he tried to make a run when they went for it on the fourth down. He didn't get nowhere. That's not nothing like Jay Daniels that we know of, if you watch his game. But young team still, rookie quarterback. Philadelphia, like I said, man, they found their rhythm. They clicked. What that is, six straight now. Super Bowl contender. The only people that's in that way, I think, is the Detroit Lions.
All right. We will see how that goes. See if someone in the NFC West can sneak in there. Both Arizona and San Francisco, maybe finding some form at the right time. But right now, it seems like those are the two top teams in the NFC. Another game you wanted to talk about, Five Star, was the Clippers, who took on the Rockets the other night. Well, hey, you left out my game. The Bulls covered against the Knicks.
I apologize. We can do that one first.
That's fine. I got nothing to say about it except we got the win. Talk to me about what you saw in the Clippers and the Rockets.
Clippers first half, we gave that out. We were able to cash that one. Rockets seem like they're starting to form into shape a little bit. Of course, his coach, you know, Udoka, he's a fabulous coach, just a really good coach, and he's going to get the best out of his team. Seems like the second team, in my opinion, is better than the first team. They call them the Terror Brothers, and those are my two favorite guys. I think me and Spread have been on these two for a while. That's Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. We both really like those guys and their potential from the day that they got drafted to the Rockets organization. Man, it was a sweat at the end. The Clippers were down like 16, put in the bench. They almost walked it down. It's down 5 men in. My 2-year-old in here sweating a storm, because I'm like, I need 4, son. They got to win by more than 5 points. And they just kept playing around, and I thought that we was going to lose that one, but they ended up, they blocked a couple shots right at the cup, and we sneak it out, and ends up a 8-point victory for the Rockets. Time to trade Sagoon and Jabari Smith for Giannis if it's available. Sagoon is overrated, man. I know y'all like him. I know you want to, you know, pump him up and like how he throws his little passes, and he got a little hound. He don't play enough defense, man, and he's undersized as a center. His plus-minus was minus 18 in this game, and I think that Coach Udoka is finding out that, you know, they can play without him in the game, you know. So, I don't know, man. If they can trade and go get Giannis, Giannis still has some good years left, man. He just needs to be motivated. He needs a new start. He's tired of Milwaukee. He doesn't like it there. what's Houston, if you're from Houston like us, so you know, it's a real, real strong Nigerian culture in Houston. A lot of, you know, powerful, successful Nigerian people inside of Houston. And at the end of the day, he's Greek, but his culture is Nigerian. You know, he's a Nigerian. So I think that it fits perfectly. So if the Rockets have a chance to get the guy that I hate, probably second or third most in the NBA, I'll suddenly become a fan, because I love to see Giannis with Udoka playing defense and running up and down that court, dunking on stuff, man. So leave the young boys out there. I even keep Van Fleet now, because Van Fleet, with playing with Giannis, he's that veteran guard that's going to hit them threes when he needs to in the playoffs. So keep that. But, man, it's time. I'll move Sagoon right now. I know that breaks your heart, Spread. I know you're a big Sagoon guy.
I am, and the only thing I would say about that is at least he's getting better on defense. When he came in as a rookie, he was arguably the worst rim protector in the league.
Yeah. He's
below average now, which doesn't sound good, but it's an improvement. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm all for getting Giannis out of Milwaukee. It's front office malpractice what they've done there, proving they don't know ball. Look like a bunch of 18-year-olds trading a two-way player. Go ahead.
Before we throw it to Sino, Spread, real, before it's his turn to talk about the Rockets, just real quick, I'm glad that you said that about Milwaukee. I want to ask you something, Spread, because you're a Bucks guy, kind of. You like to bet them off
in
the last couple years, and especially when their former coach was there, who's now doing pretty well with Phoenix, right? Now, it seems like they ran off a championship coach for Giannis, traded a championship player in Jrue Holiday for Giannis, for Dame. Did he not have anything to do with that? Sino's shaking his head. Sino, do you have some intel?
It don't make sense. Why would you do something like that of that nature?
He was he was all excited when they traded Jrue Holiday, calling Damon Lillard on the phone and saying that they needed a closer now. And we know that he ran off Buzz. Come on, he ran off Coach Buzz. You don't think so, Spread?
I don't really know, but I know that it was a mistake, and that's where you need a strong front office to tell a player, and hey, CC New York Jets, we run the show, you don't, right? Because you let these guys – look at the way it's – like when LeBron demanded Russell Westbrook and KD demanded Bradley Beal. Sometimes these guys don't know basketball, like building a team. They see what they see on the court. You know, and they love the athleticism. They go, God, I can't stay in front of that guy. But they don't think about team building and where the money goes. Otherwise, once they traded for Dame and got rid of Holiday, they got rid of the identity of that team.
So. I call those two-man robberies. That's just like Devontae Adams and A-Rod over there. That's just two homies that we got to lick. Let's hit this lick here. You hold the window up and I'm going to crawl in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the lookout while you come out with the money. That's the type of situation. Both of those words. It's just a money grab. What do you think about that Rockets Clippers game, Sino?
Five-star, when I was listening to the show, I seen you was on the Rockets first half, right? I gave out Rockets full game. In this situation, Rockets always whipped the Clippers' ass. They was like 6-0 against the spread. I kept running my numbers, too, and it was saying the Rockets would win by like 9 or 10. All right, so everything was looking good, and the game started off slow. The Rockets were actually trailing. Clippers defense is nothing. They're nothing without a Kawhi Leonard. They have to make some adjustments. So I'm looking at the game. I'm like, man, what are we going to do? I had the Rockets money line with the Lakers, and we also had the Rockets -4. They came through. Jalen Green, he got that contract. He done what he's supposed to do. The Rockets bench, they play a huge factor in that team. They do everything that they have to do. They keep impacting. They're going to be all right, I believe. So a shout out to the Houston Rockets, man.
Yes, sir.
And we talking about Giannis. I think Giannis is going to go to the state, to be honest. I think he's going to play with Curry. Curry's doing too good over there not to have, you know, a team. Like, Buddy Hield, that's about it. Like,
what do they have to get Giannis? Like, the Rockets have some pieces. I don't think that Golden State has anything that anybody wants for Giannis. You know, like, well, nobody don't want Wiggins.
Nah.
You know?
I don't know. I think their hope would be they would get the draft picks and just hope the team fell off. You know? Be like potentially... And it's for Jrue Holiday, but that pick that Milwaukee sent to New Orleans this year might be pretty good.
I feel like the Rockets had the biggest bargain chips. It's now depends.
I would think you're right, because they got a lot of depth and they got some of their picks back from Brooklyn. So,
but from what I was seeing though, it's between the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Thunder. Those top three teams. That's where he'll be going.
Oh my God, Thunder has some pieces too. They might be seeing. Yeah, would they have to come off Chet?
From what I've been reading, that's what I'm just telling you guys what I've been seeing.
It's one of those routines. Have to come out shit. Are they saying shit's in the deal?
In the, let's see, in the Thunder Deer?
Yeah. Are they the package that they're saying whatever reporting that could happen is shit involved in it? It's gotta be, right?
You know, no, they're not giving away shit. Nah.
Well, who they giving away? You know they're not giving away
a whole bunch of first round draft picks.
That's man, the Rockets better go grab them. Stop playing. Yep.
A whole bunch of first round draft picks.
Rockets better go grab Giannis, man. Stop.
Well, look right here. They say the Rockets gonna give up Jabari Smith, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, Ree Shepard, and a whole lot of draft.
We'll see you. Best of luck, guys.
Hey, and real quick, with Golden State, they will give up Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, De'Anthony Melton, and a whole bunch of draft picks. So. Yeah. That's on the table, man. Giannis can go to either one of these three teams. And if he goes to Houston, it's going to shift the market big time.
It'll shift the market. It'll shift it because you got Udoka, who's a defensive genius, working with Giannis, where he can put him in different ways to protect that rim. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Giannis in the H? Oh, yeah. My. People don't want, man.
Yeah, it'll go up. All right, Spray, what we got next?
All right, one other NBA game on the docket. The Memphis Grizzlies fell, but they got the cover against the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll be honest, I didn't bet that game. I didn't have a lot of eyes on it. I had something else going on at that game, a night game that I had money on that I ended up watching instead. Did you watch the Grizzlies and the Lakers?
Not one second. What about you, Sino?
Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
I didn't. I lost. I had the Lakers minus -7. I lost along with money lined with the Rockets.
What happened?
Right at the end, they gave it up, fixed stuff, players hitting shots that they're not supposed to hit, and that's all that happened. The Lakers were up. They were up, I think, by what, like 10, 11 or something of that nature. I don't know how these players do it, man. In the NBA, they could have 1 minute left, and they start fouling, shooting these goddamn threes, and before you know it, they're down by two. And yeah. I turned it off. Once they start to clap, I'm like, there's no way I can win. They had like 20-some seconds left in the clock. I turned it off. I didn't even finish watching the game. But, of course, the LeBron James, Ja Morant thing, that's always something to look up to. It's fun. I like the heart that Ja has against this team. He's not scared. Be on the lookout for the Grizzlies. And then the Lakers, have they came back down to reality spread?
It's tough for me to say. I mean, they look really good. They look really good at home, and they're not too good on the road.
No.
And with the style of play they have, that shouldn't be an issue for the team. Because when they're playing well, they're really good on defense, and defense usually travels. So I think they'll be okay. With the way the West is turning out right now with all these injuries, they stay healthy. They're going to be live here. I mean, we see Phoenix getting weaker. KD's out. OKC just lost Chet. Kyrie didn't play for Dallas last night, and they lost four straight. Of course, that's an important team. Golden State's doing well, but they're healthy. Let's see. I mean, they ain't going to stay healthy for 82 games. Let's see what happens to that team when they miss a couple of those pieces. So, I think the Lakers are okay, and they got the win, and I think that's all that really matters to them.
You're right, but they struggled.
LeBron's never cared about covering spreads.
No, of course not. He works, but they didn't cover at home. They struggled against, Ja Morant. He wasn't even there. His presence wasn't there.
Yeah, but that Grizzlies team without Ja isn't as bad. If you look at – if you just run numbers, they almost the same team. I know Ja's excited and everything.
Yeah, I cashed on that too. Remember I gave out over 12.5 spread on Pippen on that game.
He had like 15 or 16. I just know Jackson had went off in that game. He down there at 30.
Yeah, so that one was an easy one. We also got – if you guys watched the Wednesday show, you got the first half on Akron and North Illinois – over 23 with me. Unfortunately, we did not cash Ohio with Eastern Michigan, man, late. They just couldn't get it done. That quarterback, Snyder, the transfer from Buffalo, is complete ass. And I did not know that he was back starting because they had been playing another guy the last couple games. And, man, he's horrible. He turned the ball over twice right before the half. Really, Ohio should have money lined this game, but unfortunately, take the L on that one. And bad beat, bad break, bad handicap. Just a bad, bad beat on that one. All right, man, let's jump to the present spread.
All right. The next up on our docket is UCLA. They're catching 4.5 in Washington on Friday night. Man, Washington, what a fall from grace after being in the championship last year. You can't get it done at all. Of course, they lost a lot. They lost their quarterback, they lost their coach, and they lost about 3 wide receivers to the NFL. So Washington not doing too well this year. UCLA still kind of trying to find their footing. They're about like the 10th most popular sports team in the Los Angeles area. What are your thoughts there in that game, five star?
Well, as you said, not a good year for Washington, but I mean, shit, it wasn't a good year for Michigan either. The team that won a national championship that they played against, they're both in the same type of rut. It's because they were senior-led teams and head coaches who both left to go get the bag. And, you know, when that happens, you're going to have to rebuild. So they're struggling this year, but they made a bad decision with the quarterback that they chose. They chose the right coach, because you guys know how much I like Jed Fish. We rode Arizona last year and won a lot of money with the Wildcats. So this year, UCLA is that team. Very similar to what that Arizona team had going on, where all of a sudden I seen a switch hit and a confidence about their team. As I said, wrong quarterback for Washington. I'm going to fade him every time. I'm not a Will Rogers guy at all. I don't think that Will Rogers is a guy that you can trust. He was benched in the last game that they played for Damon Williams. Watch him, because he is a dual threat quarterback. So if he gets some playing time, he can maybe give UCLA a couple issues. But as far as in Washington as a whole, their offense doesn't scare me. Their defense is really good against the pass, but UCLA is starting to run the ball really well. Deshaun Foster is the head coach. You know, he's a former running back. Eric Bieniemy is their OC. He's a former running back. They're finally finding their, you know, rhythm in that run game. Really strong defensive line. One of the few teams you're going to ever see run for 200 yards on Iowa. They dominated them in the trenches, and I kind of told people before that game that physicality would be the key to the win for UCLA, and they showed that they're one of the most physical teams in America. They're 6-1 against the spread on their last 7 away games, and 6-1 against the spread as a whole overall. They had some tough early games, man. They played Indiana, LSU, Oregon, Penn State, Minnesota. All of those games prepared them to be ready for this moment right now, where they're going to try to make a bowl game. Tough wins at Nebraska and at Rutgers. Give me UCLA tonight plus the 4. I would not be surprised if they win money line at Washington.
Sino, I already bet this. Are you joining us? When Five Star gave it to me before the show, I bet it. Are you joining us too?
Again, I'm going to stop this game right here, because I'm a guy of turnovers, man. Turnovers kill everything. And Ethan Garbers, that's a near lock for at least one turnover. If you go look at all his past games, every game he didn't throw an interception or turn the ball over in some way of nature. And Washington always find a way to win at home, like in conference play. They always, I don't know. And the numbers saying that UCLA definitely has a shot. It's going to be a close game. In these situations, Sino not about to wreck his brain. I just follow the guru on this one and lean UCLA with those guys. And if I had to play, I'm moneyline Washington, but I stay away. I'll stay away from me.
All right, we have
the idea from that. I feel like if you're going to moneyline, I'd moneyline UCLA. Like, the reason is now your juice is too high. You're in a game where you know that either team has an opportunity to win. The great thing about betting sports is like flipping a coin. It's heads or tails. Either way, it's going to be a win or a loss. So why would you pay minus 200 in juice with a team that could easily lose over paying, you know, $100 to win, plus 180 on a team that could win, because you can always get your money back live. So that's my approach when it comes to betting that. If I'm going to flip a coin, I'm never going to pay juice.
All right. The next game I want to talk to you about, the Houston Cougars traveling to Arizona to take on the Wildcats. And, you know, Arizona's got some – they do one thing right in that state. They don't follow daylight savings. I wish we didn't have to do that. What are your thoughts here when Houston actually switches time zones now to take on the Wildcats?
Man, my lean on Wednesday on this game was Houston. Now it's too much money coming in on them, and the Cougars aren't that good of a team. I do like Chris at quarterback. I do think that Willie Fritz is starting to get his type of football being played by his team, but it's just, I don't know, man. This is a tricky game for me. I'll probably wait and bet it live, because if Arizona decides to play and decides that they want to win, they can win this game. It is a home game. They are a more talented team. I don't know if we see a better North Fafita, because lately he's not been playing well. He's been really inaccurate. Tatario McMillan has been playing well, and I expect a lot more from those two guys. I expect both of them to be, you know, playing All-American type football. There's something that's going on with Britt Brennan over there. I don't know what it is, but until then, I can't bet the Wildcats. So I still would lean of course, towards Houston. But it's not an official play until I see how the market shifts. And when I do, I'll make a tweet about it.
Sino, are you getting involved, or are you waiting too on the Houston Cougars versus Arizona?
I feel the same exact way. Line minus 1.5. That's a very, very sharp line. The market's going to touch you to bet. So I just stay away. We still have a little time for that game.
All right. Let's see. So this, now we're moving to Saturday. And Texas is taking on Arkansas.
Yep.
Minus 13. How are you approaching this one?
This is an old Southwest Conference rival from back in the game. They used to play every year, you know, and it was a big border war thing back in the day. But, you know, now things have changed in Texas and the SEC. And they're joining Arkansas, who's been in the SEC a really long time. I can't trust Arkansas, man. You know, like, they're too Jekyll and Hyde. They play really well offensively some games, and then sometimes they can't move the ball. Sometimes the defense looks like it's decent, and then sometimes they can't stop a nosebleed. So that inconsistency means I would not be on that side. I'd probably be looking maybe Texas first half, but I'll fall back and wait till Saturday morning to see how everything kind of shakes out. But I do lean Texas first half on this one. And whatever the total is, it probably goes under it, I would think, because I think Arkansas is going to have a difficult time kind of scoring on that Texas defense. Taylen Green just isn't consistent enough in the pass game, and his athleticism isn't going to look so spectacular against the type of speed on the Longhorns defense. So I would lean that. I'm not going to bet it. I don't bet totals, but just off my numbers, that's what I would see. But I definitely like Texas first half.
What are you thinking here, Sino?
Man, Texas full game. This should be a blowout. We got the ninth best passing attack in the country facing a, 129th ranked pass defense. They gave up 500-plus yards last game. Texas should ride these guys, man. Official play from Sino, Texas minus 13.
All right. Sino's on the Longhorns to get that one done. Next game, we got the Utah Utes head to Colorado to take on the Buffaloes. Colorado laying double digits here. Is that too many points, five-star?
Well, I don't know. It seems like Colorado is a covering machine of late. They're 7-2 against the spread. The thing that's most beautiful about betting a Colorado game is even when the public has been with them, they've overcome it, man. Now they've covered 7 straight games, man. Something happened with that defensive line and offensive line. People talked all of that mess about Shador calling out his offensive line, but how have they played since then? It seemed like it worked out pretty well to me. Like, you shouldn't do that. Throw your guys under the bus. Double standards bullshit. You know, and then another guy does it, and he's just being a leader. this media. But anyway, you can't stop success, man. The Colorado has been really successful. You can't stop talent. And they have it all over the field offensively, man. And now that their defensive line has his ears back, people forget Coach Prime is a defensive coach first and foremost. I don't think people remember that. Like, his side of the ball is defense, and he's a really good defensive mind. Like, the thing that made Coach Prime so good as a player was his ability to study film. He's a film junkie. So I think that we see a really good game by Colorado. One thing to watch that I will admit, last week I had BYU and won a miracle because they called a BS defensive hole against Utah on fourth down from like their own goal line. And I was able to steal that game on the last second field goal by BYU, but they did not deserve to win that game. I'm going to just be honest with you. Utah really played better than them in that game. But Utah has a new quarterback that they let play. He's a kid. He's a freshman. I think they were trying to hold him so he could keep his red shirt rights. I think they could play 4 games or something like that, and the red shirt stays in place. His name is Brandon Rose, and that kid is okay. You know, like, he's a decent quarterback. And what's made them struggle for so long is they don't have anyone to throw the ball ever since Cam Rising got hurt. So we know they're going to try to run the ball, but Colorado's been one of the better run defenses in the whole country, man. They've been really, really stout defensively against the run. I want to say that their defense is, what is it? No, they're only allowing right now 150 yards a game on the ground, and that's pretty good. Can the defense a Utah win on the line, because they're going to have to win on the line to slow down Shadon at offense. It's a sit-back, wait-and-see game for me. I'd lean that Colorado continues to roll. It's an early game, man. They're playing at 10 a.m. because the Fox wanted to make sure that they got them in that morning slot where usually we see Ohio State. So it's a big game, super early start. Yeah, you know that's on the team name show is Ohio State. But Colorado's going to play right there, man. And so we'll see how it go. But I'm very interested to see can they cover this game. I'll be looking as a fan. But if I can wait live and get like a minus six, I'll probably jump in on that.
Sino, are you going to play this game pre-flop? And are you disappointed to not be able to see Ohio State on your TV right when you wake up on Saturday morning?
Oh, my God. Hell no. Nah, I like the new wave. Like I said, the paradigm shift is here. It's time for a change, man. But the Buffalo, what, they 3 wins away from clinching a Big 12 championship spot? And they going back home with a supporting crowd. They've been blowing stuff out. In Utah, they bringing it back. Isaac Wilson. He coming back and after the poor performance he had against Houston.
Oh, Isaac Wilson going to start?
Yeah, he's starting. Yeah, he's starting.
Oh, he's starting then. Lay the points, y'all. Isaac Wilson starts, lay the 11.
He's starting. He's coming back. And, again, turnovers. Oh. That's why, you know, I'm a turnover guy.
Yeah.
I like the Buffs. And yeah, hopefully,
lay the 11. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm glad you said this, you know.
Nah, yeah, he's coming back. He played trash against Houston. Shout out to Houston. This Buffs defense – they're where they're supposed to be. Utah got a lot of turnover problems. You know, their defense is there, but Shador is a whole different animal. Colorado right here, that's definitely who I'm leaning. Hopefully, we can get a better number. If it goes down to 11, 10 and a half, some of that nation, we definitely on the Buffs. But if you're in the raw group, I might give that out a free play, man. Colorado somewhere, but I like them. They should capitalize on Utah's turnover. And, you know, Wilson, he's going to struggle to cover the spread.
Let's head over to the ACC, Clemson. He's going to travel to take on Pitt. How do you see the Panthers doing in this one, five-star?
See, while I'm going over this, find out if Eli Holstein is playing in this game for me, Pittsburgh and Clemson. Because that's what this whole, I mean, my whole handicap on this game is based on that. If he doesn't play, I don't want any parts of Pitt because of the similar situation we just talked about with Utah guys. I've seen Brandon Rose. You guys know how I am about quarterbacks. I can see the guys who can handle it and who can't. Brandon Rose is a much better player than Isaac Wilson. But Isaac Wilson, you know, his brother went there and was drafted in the NFL, and I'm sure his family got a lot of pull at BYU. So if Sino says he's starting, then we land the points because he's not him. Isaac Wilson is going to be afraid against that Colorado pass rush. And kind of similar in this game, man, if Yarnell is the quarterback for Pitt, I want no part of it because he's all over.
Eli Holstein is questionable. So
they keep it so hidden in college
football. Yeah,
it's the same. So it went up to 11 and a half to make you think that Eli Holstein isn't playing.
I got a 12.
Yes, take the 12 spread. You got to take it because the reason I say take it is because we can buy out if something changes, right? What if Holstein ends up playing that morning and go to 9? Because he's worth about 2.5-3 points. So, Yarnell, you don't want him. I'm telling you, you don't want him. You will have to have an amazing performance by that Pitt defense to you know, win with him as the quarterback just because when in the passing game comes, he's going to seal it on guys. And safeties get a lot of interceptions on him. And Clemson is good at turning people over. They've always been good at that. And they have a lot of motivation in this game to play now because – with Miami losing to Georgia Tech, now Clemson is tied with Miami for only having one loss. And, you know, the other side who's winning is SMU. Who would ever thought that? You remember early in the year I was telling you guys about Brett Lashley coaching it. Kevin Jennings out of Oak Cliff was a really good quarterback, went to Carter High School, and now he's the starting quarterback, replaces Preston Stone. And SMU is first year in ACC, hasn't lost the game. Offense looks unstoppable. So they're 5-0 on one side. They seem to be headed towards the championship unless they get upset. And then now on the other side, it's either between Clemson or Miami. So we know that Dabo going to have the defense ready to go. He can't really say the offenses because he doesn't have a lot of playmakers on the offense. And Cade Klubnik is not that guy, man. He's not that guy. So I expect this one to be a low-scoring affair, really tough game. And you got to take the points in a situation like this, but as I said, it's not an official play for me as long as Holstein is out. If Yarnell is the quarterback, I'm buying out.
All right. LSU disappointed us last week. One of the few losses on a card just chock full of winners. Now they travel to Florida. How do you see them taking on the Gators? How
we break double down, so you know I'll go after you.
Yeah, I'd say LSU or Florida's taking a little money, so you know it's down to 3.5 for me offshore.
Where did it start at? Was it at 4?
4, yeah.
No, how LSU, they coming off a defeat, man. How they respond to this 5-star? Like, are they out of the playoffs? Off of, because of that loss they just had?
I think so.
I really don't know, man. I'm disappointed in the way they perform. Like, it definitely affected the playoffs if I go back and look at it. Nussmeier played the game he needed to. This season just been tough for him. What, 11 interceptions? Well, he threw 21 touchdowns. I don't know, man. This Tiger team, they was just a big, big letdown. There's really not much I can say about them because the gate is down, but they still fighting. Like, they still got a shot. And we lost to Bama. I really thought we was going to win that game. And they got embarrassed. It was Bama came out there and shined on LSU.
I was just going to say, I know you enjoy listening to Colin Cowherd, and it sounds like he enjoys listening to you because turned it on yesterday, and he wants Brian Kelly out of there too. And I said, I swear we just mentioned this yesterday on our show.
We just talked about it. And it's crazy because Jason McIntyre definitely comes over here and gets plays. And, you know, we, you know, put out bets and stuff because he's retweeted a couple of things that I've done, gave me some, like, props for my read on Cam Ward early. But this depends on DJ Lagaway play. DJ Lagaway plays, Florida going to money line LSU. I'm telling you, if DJ Lagaway is the quarterback, Florida's going to win this game. And they said that he worked out on Monday. So it's a chance that he might play. So this game for me is based on that. I feel like LSU and the Saints are not to be trusted right now. Even though the Saints had that company game, the NFL made sure they won. And, you know, Young Way played like a young hoe. You know, it happened. So that's all went and done. But for the most part, both of those teams just aren't the teams right now to be betting on and putting your money behind, man. You don't want to risk your money on LSU right now. So, as I said, if I played anything on this game, it'd be Florida +4, pending DJ Lagaway. So, two games straight, man, where it's all about quarterback. But in my handicap, it's all about head coach, quarterback, defense.
And there's a reason that Jake Paul's fighting tonight and not tomorrow night, because the real main event of Saturday is Tennessee taking on Georgia. Tino, I want to start with you on one.
I can talk about this. I'm still hurt about that LSU team, y'all, because, man, I had so much expectations for that team, dude. And we're not even going to make the college playoffs, probably. That's just sad. If we get punched back.
You believed in Nussmeier. I told you that before the season.
Yeah, you did, man. And if we get money line by FSU this weekend, we're really out of there. But let's move on to this game right here, Tennessee and Georgia. What you would say, Sprit?
I'm surprised at how many points Tennessee's catching. What are your thoughts going into this game?
Georgia desperate, and they need to win to get in the playoff and stay in this
house. But do they need to win by 10? I mean, that's a lot of points for a Tennessee team that's playing really well.
Yes, and that's the books are making. They have to make a statement. They have to show that we are still that team. They can't go win by a field goal of 7 points. You can't, because it's going to be a close game, and you're going into Tennessee again. It's hard to win on the road. You can't. Yeah. And I don't. Shout out to Carson Beck. We riding Carson Beck this game. We're just going to keep
it. Oh, Lord.
Look, that's a lot of points, 5-star. The line looked too funny for me. It looks way, way too funny. Way too funny. And like I said, Georgia needs to win. I think they do it by 2 or more touchdowns.
All right, so Cena's laying it. I think it's a lot of points for a really solid Tennessee team playing against what we've seen is an inconsistent Georgia team this year.
Didn't Tennessee beat Bam?
Yeah.
All right. So why is Tennessee playing against Georgia and they getting 10 points at home?
That's my point.
Thank you.
Only because the quarterback is out.
5-star. All right.
The quarterback for Tennessee is out.
We know that. We know why. And big brother, we know that. And you're a quarterback guy, and you still gonna rely on this guy with 10 points? Are you still gonna trust on him with 10 points?
Well, I'm researching right now a little bit more into the backup, because they hadn't said if Iamavilla wasn't playing or not at first. You know, like, it wasn't for sure yet. So let's say it's a kid, Gaston Moore. He hasn't got much playing time. But regardless of what, I know that Josh Heupel knows how to coach offense, so he'll figure out some type of way. Tennessee has some good running backs and things like that. It's just a lot of points. I know Georgia's dominated Tennessee over the years. Tennessee's been playing really well of late, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And so I just can't trust all of a sudden for Carson Beck to learn how to play football again. And he's been throwing interceptions left and right. Tennessee, their defense isn't one to, you know, to be taken lightly. And
you're right. They're ranked number five in the nation.
Ranked number five, bro. They third in yards per play. They only giving up 4.2 yards. And we know that Georgia.
Points, bro.
Georgia, I'm telling you why. Because they know people are going to think like you that Georgia's going to dominate and eat this game because they're familiar with the normal Georgia brand. But it's a lot going on in that locker room, Sino. It's a lot. You got a kid on their team celebrating with the other team. When you set up, you just lost. Your team lost, and you don't feel happy you guys lost. What the hell's going on in your locker room?
Yeah, y'all lost by 18. Shit.
Right, they quit. Carson Beck sucks. Like, stop it. Like, he sucks. Stop trying to save him and act like, you know, he's a good player. He's not a good player right now, man. I'll probably be on Tennessee first half on this game. I think that Josh Heupel, you know how I am first half better. I think Josh Heupel is going to come out and figure out a way to keep it close. And Georgia's usually a second half team anyway. So I think that Tennessee comes out with a good game plan, slow down that running attack, just like the great point that Spread just made about offensive linemen. If it was a veto game, that was a great analogy, Spread, that if their energy levels were showing, it wears down after a while from just leaning on them. And I think Tennessee might wear down, and they do. They might end up losing by 10, but we ain't going to give it a shot. I'm going Tennessee first half just because I trust Josh Heupel to come up with a really good game plan early, even though they have a young quarterback that'll be in the game. But I also like Tennessee's defense against Carson Beck.
Yeah, I mean, my final point is, and I know you guys know college way more than me, you know the players way more than me, but I'm just looking at my odds screen, right? Tennessee's catching 10 on a 46.5. Look at some other of these 10-point spreads. Like North Carolina's laying 11, but the total's 64. Just seems like a pretty low total for 10 points. But we'll see. I guess I'm wrong. Colorado's laying 10.5 on a 44.5.
But the book
just seems like a lot of points for a game with a low total.
Yeah, and they're telling you Tennessee's not going to score. Like,
yeah,
not.
That's what they're saying. But that's what Georgia might not score either. Look at defense.
All Tennessee need is one touchdown, you guys, go to cover that spread. They get a touchdown and the field goal, Georgia ass in trouble. Simple as that.
They ain't get that in the first half. Second half, they're going to be through. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee win at halftime.
All right, we'll see how that game turns out. It's a big referendum, and Tennessee's got a chance to make the 12-team playoff if they get this win, right?
Yeah, for sure they do.
Yeah, so. They're going to be fired up. That's going to be a fun game, and I think that's why Jake Paul's fighting tonight. I think too many people like me would be like, I think I'm going to watch the real sports. But let's move to Sunday because we have a bunch of great games. There's some bad ones too, but in each time slot, there's a primetime main event game, and the first one is the Baltimore Ravens traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. This is a tough game for me, five-star. You know that of the last 5 years, I've been making a lot of money. You bet Tomlin is a home dog. You don't even think about it. But I'm thinking about it here because if there's any team that has the potential to win by margin against this current Steelers team, it is this version of the Baltimore Ravens. But they had to be a better version because Lamar's never covered a spread against Mike Tomlin in his career. Tomlin 4-0 against the spread, taking on Lamar Jackson so far. If I were to play it, I'd be on the Steelers, but I think it's kind of treacherous here. What do you think of five-star?
Yeah, I'll wait till closer to the game, but I definitely probably play the Steelers strictly because Tomlin just gave Lamar Jackson that kiss of death. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a sharp guy. He gave him all those compliments when they said that stuff about Jaden Daniels, and he's about to try to make him have his worst game of the season, and they very might well pull it off. As you know, Tomlin owns John Harbaugh. Like, he just does. You know, he 7-3 against him in the last 10. They've won now 7-1 in the last 8. So why would I take the Ravens? I don't care how good they've been looking offensively. They scored 10 points the last two times that they played the Steelers defense. It's something that the Steelers have figured out about slowing down Lamar. they haven't given the recipe to anyone else in the league. And I'm sure that they're going to hold on to it. But you have two different forces going here, because you got the Steelers, who, as I said, are 7-1 against the Ravens since 2020. And then you got the Ravens, who covered their past 8 road games on extended rest. So it's a couple things, man. You know the Ravens are going to be probably really fired up for this game because they know how bad the Steelers always beat them. But do they have the defense to stout enough to get a really, you know, growing and, you know, getting better offense in the Steelers? The Steelers' offense is really finding its way under Russell Wilson, and his confidence is building more and more and more and more. People forget this Steelers a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He never forgot how to play. I told you guys last year in Denver, he was still good. We saw him pull out a couple miracle victories for Broncos last year, and Sean Payton was pissed he won, you know? So I think that these Steelers are hard to deal with. They've covered 4 straight home divisional games, man, and they've covered by a margin of plus 13.9. So they're beating ass when you pull up in those yellow towels out there waving. I know the public going to be on the Steelers, but, man, I got to be a Huckleberry. I'm going with Tom the money line on this one.
I think the money will be even. I've heard a lot of love for the Ravens here. And if you run numbers, it's going to tell you to take Baltimore off the strength of their offensive explosion here. If you take Pittsburgh, it's more just off the ATS trends and just knowing how these division games go. So, you know, where are you landing on this one?
Y'all couldn't have said it better. Like, as professional bettors in a divisional game, a home underdog, like, you got to take the dog, man. And I told you guys last show, whenever the Commanders played the Steelers, Russell Wilson was going to show Jaden Daniels. He was going to big brother, man. Russell Wilson there, man. Again, he always wanted to play the game of football. He loves it. He just wants to be comfortable in where he wants to be. And now you can see that under Mike. This is a whole different team. Again, you hinted here first on the waging world. Don't be surprised if the goddamn Pittsburgh Steelers sneak their way into the Super Bowl some way, somehow. Five Star just gave you guys a great play. This is an official play from Sino. +3 Pittsburgh Steelers. I sprinkle a little bit on the money line, too. I think they're going to upset the Ravens.
Five Star, we touched on this a little bit on Friday, but we can dive into it a little bit more. And I'm talking about Caleb Williams, who's Chicago Bears, will be hosting the Green Bay Packers. Packers actually 10-0 against the spread, their last 10 against Chicago. This obviously goes back to Aaron Rodgers, but they've had a lot of success in this stadium. I want to hear a breakdown of this game, and just in case anyone missed the Wednesday show, your thoughts on Caleb Williams. When I see a quarterback struggling to get through his progressions, make reads, hold on the ball too long, that doesn't really bother me. He's a rookie. What really bothers me is that his teammates don't seem to be supporting him. DJ Moore has all but said he doesn't like the guy and doesn't want to play with him. And watch when he gets sacked. None of the offensive linemen seem to care at all. It reminds me of that year with Derek Carr and the Raiders when he pissed off his offensive linemen. And it just didn't seem, you know, they out there trying, but, you know, they're not giving 100%. Probably closer to 90, 95% here on that football field. What are your thoughts on this Packers game? And what does Caleb Williams need to do to become a leader in that locker room?
You guys that have been following me for a long time and watching the show know that it's only a few people in sports betting or just discussing sports and breaking down football that I trust, and one of them is Greg Cosell. And Greg Cosell, he always sees the game just like me with these quarterbacks. He's one of the guys that I really listen to and like his film breakdown. And he said the same thing I've been saying before Caleb Williams came to the NFL, that he created too many sacks by holding the ball too long and trying to play hero ball. That he's a really good passer from the pocket, but he doesn't like being in the pocket. He doesn't see stuff quick. He doesn't anticipate. And he tucks the ball way too fast and takes off. So on top of that, he's small. he just had a really good hype machine behind him, you know, and people believed in him. He got in that L.A. market, and he started believing a lot of things about himself. How stupid does he look right now with the thing that they were talking about, that he wants to own a percentage of the team that drafted him? Like, you're one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, my dude. So, public's going to be all over Green Bay, but so am I. You know I'm a low-key cheese here, especially when it comes to betting. Matt LaFleur is coming off a loss where they did not look good offensively against Detroit. Detroit Hamilton really bad. But, you know, just like anything in fights, it's always about the matchup. They never play well against Detroit. Detroit has been winning at Green Bay 3-4 years now. You know who they play really good against? The Chicago Bears. It's a perfect get-right game. They're coming off of a bye. They're 10-0 against the spread against the Bears in the last 10 and have not lost a game against them. I don't trust Caleb Williams. I'm going to be on Green Bay first half on this one. I think that Jordan Love comes out throwing it and looking really well off of a bye week and a time to get some rest. And I also take Green Bay money line probably for the game. I don't know if they're 5.5 will land, but I can say that they're 10-0 against the spread against the Bears in the last 10 times they faced them.
Cena, what do you think here? And, man, I like Caleb a lot as a talent. We've seen some really excellent plays from him. But, boy, if you can't be a leader, that you can kind of not be liked in the locker room as a running back, wide receiver, defensive end. As a quarterback leadership position, Caleb's got to figure out how to get his teammates behind him because it seems like that's one of his big issues right now. What are you thinking in this game?
For the teammates to be saying they want to start a backup instead of Caleb Williams, like
– that wasn't very good. I mean,
yeah, that tells us right there.
It's not like Joe Flacco sitting there with the Super Bowl ring as the backup, right?
Right. I'm like, God damn, that tells us everything we need to know, man. This Bears team is the Bears. Like, again, Caleb Williams, he's just over there. He's just caught up in that organization. I don't think nothing's good coming out of the Bears no time soon. They're outstanding in the red zone. That's about the only thing they have, a good defense, man. How we goddamn take the Bears with some points? We got to take Jordan Love. It's only right. So I'm with 5-star on this one, man. First half, we come out with the Green Bay Packers. Books might do something else. That 5 is a fishy number also in sports betting. That's just weird.
Hella fishy. They're going to try something. Too much money on the Packers. They might win by 4 or 5 at the
end. What I was going to say, 4 or 5.
And Caleb Williams get a little backdoor touchdown.
There you go. I was about to say that. They might actually be down by like 4 or something, and they might give Caleb Williams a drive to win the game. And if he wins the game, oh, he did this. But nah, first half, 5-star is a very, very smart guy. Yeah. And like he said, the Packers dominated this in recent years, this history. So I don't know why it shouldn't be 5. So, I lean Green Bay first half.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it's 5. Number seems about right to me, but I'll still take Green Bay until that streak ends. Streak can only end once, but it can keep rolling for a while. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons who are heading to Denver to take on Sean Payton and the Broncos. The Broncos have been a team that's definitely benefited from the fourth place schedule. They look really good against some of the weaker teams. And then, you know, they kind of struggle, especially if we saw it in Baltimore 2 weeks ago against the better teams in the NFL. So I see this game as a referendum on the Atlanta Falcons. If the Atlanta Falcons really want to make noise in the playoffs, because they're probably not going to be at home other than the first game, they're going to have to be able to go outdoors. They're going to have to travel. And they're going to have to start getting some pressure on the quarterback. I mean, it's one of the worst pass rushes in the league. And it's really too bad because they have excellent secondary play, but they just make those guys cover for so long. Denver Broncos at home, lane 2, 5-star. It's tough, man, but I like the Broncos here. I don't know if I trust the Falcons outdoors. And at the end of the day, I think I would just take whoever was at home in this matchup. This game was in Atlanta, and it was, you know, Falcons -2, which is what I think it would be. I'd be on the Falcons for that one. But because it's outdoors in Denver, I think the Broncos have a huge advantage. I'm going to take the Broncos in this one. What are your thoughts?
I'll be with you on that side. This is an official play for me. I'm going to play the Broncos. I think that they got a lot of confidence last week, even though they lost their game to Kansas City.
Yep.
Them knowing that they could go toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl champions is really big. Also a thing to keep an eye on the Falcons. They've lost every game in which they failed to score 22 points. They're not going to get to 22 points, I don't think, against this Broncos defense. This Broncos defense is number one in the league in defensive yards allowed per play, man. They're only allowing 5 yards per play, and they're the 5th overall defense. Also, another thing to keep an eye on, the Falcons are 2-6 against the spread in their past 8 games with a total under 45 points. Because we know that at the end of the day, the Broncos are going to muck it up. They're going to play ugly. They're going to get physical. And it's an outdoor game. Also, Sean Payton doesn't like the Falcons. He's in the Saints. He's been a Saints coach forever. It's naturally inbred in him from all of those years competing against the Falcons, that he wants to beat those guys. Also, another thing to keep an eye on for this one, Bo Nix is really improving. Weeks 1 through 4, his completion percentage was 42.9%. That number has spiked to 65% since then. I like the Broncos in this one. Full game, though. Let's go Broncos, full game, -2 and money line.
Yeah, Sino, not surprised to see a young quarterback improve under the tutelage of Sean Payton. What are your thoughts on this one?
Just exactly everything Five Star said, man. Sean Payton got something against this team. The Broncos, the block field goal, they would have won that game against the Chiefs. Like, they had confidence there. They are for vengeance. The Falcons just lost to the goddamn New Orleans Saints. Be for real. They're not about to go into Denver and win this game in this type of weather. Nah.
All right. The Seattle Seahawks are taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Since Russell Wilson left, the Seahawks have not beat the 49ers, and they failed to cover at home against San Francisco earlier this year on Thursday Night Football. Now they run it back in San Francisco. San Francisco's starting to get healthy, but I don't know if McCaffrey's going to be the same guy he was last year, even until next year. Sometimes those injuries do take a while to come back from. Big news in the Bay Area, of course, is the 49ers extending their top cornerback, Lenore. So congratulations to him. He's definitely earned it with his solid play. 6.5, usually a lot in a division game, Five Star. But once again, this 49ers team seems to have the Seahawks number since Russell Wilson left. How are you approaching this one?
Man, I'm not fading the 49ers in this spot, even though I don't think that they cover. I'm not going to play this game. You know, I'll just probably watch it. It's a game that Seattle really needs. They've lost 2 straight games. They've had a week off to kind of get healthy. DK Metcalf is coming back. We know we're going to see the best out of him. If anything on this game, only thing that I could see myself maybe betting at all is that my guy Walker gets in the end zone for a touchdown. Kenneth Walker, the third, I think he scores a touchdown. So that's the only way I would look. It's too close, and you know I'm not a big Brock Purdy guy because you don't know if he's going to get out there and throw a bunch of interceptions or he's going to look good, because this is one of those teams that he's played well against. He's shown up against Seattle several times before, so I wouldn't want to fade him in this one because he has confidence when he sees that Seattle jersey. But McCaffrey, he might not be the same guy this year or going forward. Before that Bucs game last week, I texted Skeet right before the game, and I told him, man, take the Bucs, go all in on the +6.5. I think the McCaffrey news is to get better, you know, to the window. I don't think that he's going to be as effective as people think that he's going to be, and it ended up working out well for us as we both cashed that one. So this one is a no play for Five Star, but I will probably play Kenneth Walker to score a touchdown.
Interesting. Five Star brings up the Bucs game. I was on the wrong side of that, and one of the reasons the 49ers failed to cover was special teams play, and you even saw Debo getting into it with the long snapper, so that's obviously something they're going to have to address as well.
Yeah, I didn't see that spread. So did he pull a young way cool and was missing stuff and just kind of shaving the points?
So like, Jake Moody keeps missing kicks. So yeah. Debo went over and yelled at, and I heard he didn't say, yeah, but I don't think it was that bad. It was like, get your head in the game or get right. It wasn't personal or nothing. Yeah. And the long snapper tried to jump in and protect him. But at this point, special teams is the reason this is even close. So that's been an issue with the young coaches, right? Is sometimes, and Green Bay, McVay's been a victim of this too. They only think about offense and defense, and they're leaving out special teams. And you know, it's been pointed out that the older coaches, you know, Reed, Belichick, I mean, they spend a lot of time on special teams. So that's going to be an issue for the 49ers moving forward. But Sino, how do you approach in this game between the Seahawks and the Niners?
Mike Madonna is in trouble. Simple as that. Like, the Seahawks, they started off real, real good. Then what, they lost 5 of the last 6. Like, that don't look right. And again, McCaffrey coming back, I think they're going to try to make some adjustments just running the ball, you know, getting back in the game. This is a big under game right here for Sino. Official play under 48. I'm looking at some numbers right here. I'm having it around, what, they're saying 39? Oh, that's great. And they're 0-10 against the spread right here to the under. So we're going to play the under. Official play for Sino, under 48.
Nothing wrong with playing an under in a divisional showdown. The best game of the afternoon slate, Five Star, Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Buffalo Bills. Bills are laying 2, and everyone's going to talk about Patrick Mahomes' record against the spread. as an underdog. So for me, it's Chiefs or pass, but it's not my necessarily my favorite game to get involved with. And I, you know, I'm small on the Chiefs here. Do you think I should add, or do you think I'm on the wrong side?
This one too tight for me. I'm going to bet this game live after it started and one of these quarterbacks get behind and try to grab about 7.5, 8 points, 10 points or something and wait for the other quarterback to fight back a little bit in the second half, because the Chiefs, they roar back every week second half. They're a second half team. They're 5-1-1 against the spread in the past 7 road games. It's a myth that people think that Kansas City has dominated Buffalo. That's just one of the more important games, but in the regular season, Buffalo's been pretty good against Kansas City. They've beaten them the last 3 times in the regular season, but they lost to them twice in the playoffs. So it's a good chance that Buffalo gets this one done, man, and gives the Chiefs their first loss of the year. My numbers are saying Buffalo is really the play, but I doubt I play it because it's just against my rules. You guys know I got rules, and one of them is don't fade my home. I'm not betting against my home. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it, but my numbers do say Buffalo has a really good chance to win this one.
Yeah, and Buffalo's actually had some success against them in the regular season. Sino, yeah. What's your approach to this one?
Just exactly what Five Star said. I'd be a fool to go fade Patrick Mahomes. I'm not doing that. But everybody thinks it's going to be a high-scoring game. Nope, definitely won't be. You want another official play from Sino? Under 46. Let's go.
All right, 46 is the number I have offshore right now, too. And in Sunday Night Football, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one, Five Star. Because your guy, Joe Burrow. Back against the wall. I mean, they're not officially eliminated, but in my mind, they're essentially eliminated. If Cincinnati were to lose this game, they travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. I bet the under in this game, but I do have a little bit of a concern that the Chargers have built up all these excellent defensive metrics going against weaker competition. So, you know, a little bit of buyer's remorse there, but I got in at 47.5. Chargers are currently -1, so it's essentially just pick the winner of this game. Who do you like, Five Star?
The battle of the two media darlings. These are the two most overhyped quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. They both were so loved by the NFL beat writers. But in this one, I like the coaching. The spread left.
I'll be right back.
I got to talk about his boys. Y'all hit that like button. This is the wagering world. Yeah, man. So in this one, I have to lean with Harbaugh. Harbaugh is finally shaping his team. Run the ball, play good defense. You got good offense with the Bengals, 5th in the league with 27 points per game, going against great defense. The Chargers are the best. They're only allowing 13 points per game. I think that defensive line is able to get into Joe Burrow's face. I also think that on the offensive side of the ball, that the Chargers are able to play keep away, long drives, run the ball, just be more physical at the line. I'll be playing the Chargers on this one. I think the Chargers win this game.
I'm on the other side, Five Star. We finally got a one where we, you know, our little bowl game that they like. I just think Cincinnati's strong run defense, you know, is going to stifle the Chargers' heavy offense that they got. And again, they got to pass the ball. Turnovers, and Cincinnati offense, they've been limited to sacks and turnovers. Jamar Chase starting to step up. Burrow, lead passing, they definitely need this win right here. I ran some numbers and stuff like that. I'm seeing that they went by a touchdown, and the Chargers right here, they ain't won the game in the spot all year, so we definitely going to take the Bengals, +1.5.
You're on Cincinnati, huh?
Yeah, I'm on Cincinnati. Yep.
All right. Final game, let's talk about Monday Night Football. Is it even going to be worth watching, Five Star? Or I'm going to be watching my NBA by the second quarter here. Dallas going to get the doors blown off them. Texans coming off that disappointing loss in primetime last week. That's 2 tough losses in a row on primetime. And now they got a chance to kind of make things right against the world. You know, if the Texans would have won that game against the Lions, I might be hesitant to lay the 7.5. But coming off 2 losses, they're better in every facet of the game right now if you look at the current teams. And to me, this is Texans are pass. And I know 7.5 seems like a lot, but it's almost like they just need Cowboys money so bad they had to put up an attractive line for the underdog bettors. What do you think?
Yeah, Texas better be careful in this one, especially for the full game. First half will be on Texas. They always come out with a good game plan. They'll probably overwhelm with talent early. But I don't know if that defense holds up in the second half, and the offense has to do better, man. They're ranked 31st in offensive success rate this season. Only team that's worse than them are the Browns. So I don't know what the Texans are doing over there. Once again, I said today on ESPN 975, hopefully Bobby Slowick was listening to the show, to the most popular, you know, morning sports show in Houston. And that's The Bench with John Guarnado and Lance Erline. I'm on there every Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time for 3 years now. I'm their betting expert. But I was saying on air, man, Bobby Slowick, please come out of this silly stuff that you're running. Run the spread offense, man, so you can protect your offensive linemen. They're saying that CJ has the fifth lowest quick pass rate in the NFL. That's stupid. He's holding the ball way too long, man. Get him some easy throws. Nico Collins is back. First half on the Texans, I think they're on them early, but this is a real public game. It's going to be real political. It's going to be a standalone, so I don't know if they can catch the whole game, but I do like the Texans first half.
What are you thinking, Sino?
I'll give you guys a little secret. The original receiver, right? Sino always do this. Anytime Mike McCarthy has been coaching the Dallas Cowboys and they get blown out by 17 or more points, they don't cover or win the next game. As simple as that. If you guys watch how CJ Stroud played last game, he did not look like himself. He was missing like wide open receivers and stuff. I went back and watched some of them. Like, damn, he'd never make miss these. I guess it just was the pressure. But Cowboys, they want to tank. They want to tank. Cooper Rush is not that guy. The season is very, very sharp for them. They know they're not going to the playoff Super Bowl. Dak's out of that. He's going to get the surgery, like they said. Man, another official play from Sino. Texans minus 7.5. This should be a blowout. They should win by 2 or more touchdowns. They want you guys to take Dallas. You can be a fool and go do so if you want.
All right. Seems like we all like the Texans here. But 5-star is going to take them first half. I won't be surprised to see both. Yeah. Dallas already signaled their intentions.
Hey, done. Look what the Eagles did to this team. The Houston Texans are about to slaughter these guys.
I hope so.
Yeah. About to happen.
Not to mention it's an in-state rivalry. I know it's not like a traditional rivalry, but that means a lot to each fan base, and the coaches are aware of this. All right, it's time for the people segment. We're going to bless you with some winners. 5-star, I'll start with you. What's your favorite play for the weekend?
Man, I'm going to the Great Cup. This is the 104th edition. You guys know that I love to bet different markets, and that's what makes me who I am. 5-star, man, my portfolio. We can go to all types of sports. And I have an opinion, and not only an opinion, an expert opinion on it. And I've been watching CFL football now probably about 11, 12 years, man. And I love the sport. And now I've said it's culmination. I said it's Super Bowl for Canada. 9.5 points is a lot of points to be given this Toronto team, man. I think it's because Chad Kelly's out. That's their superstar quarterback. But they've been playing without him most of the year anyway. They went 9 games. Of playing with another quarterback because Chad Kelly was on suspension for making sexual advances at the assistant coach. They had a female assistant coach, and he was in there, you know, making them feel uncomfortable and get suspended by the league for 9 games. That's pretty much on brand for Chad Kelly. He's a real frat boy, so I don't think that they're going to miss him. They've been able to do just fine without him. He is a very explosive, good player. But with that said, Winnipeg is coming into this game as the number one defense in the league. They play really tough, but they got some pressure on them to not become the Canadian Buffalo Bills. They lost 2 straight Grey Cups now under Mike O'Shea. They were upset by Toronto 2 years ago. Toronto has the most championships in the history of the CFL with 17 titles. Winnipeg has the most appearances in the CFL Grey Cup with 27. With all that said, man, that's just too many points to give up in a championship game. I think the books are setting people up because the Blue Bombers have been dominant since the start of August. They're 10-1 straight up, 9-2 against the spread in the last 11. Argos have Nick Arbuckle. He's not a good quarterback, but I think that defense turns over Zach Kolaris, who's the quarterback for Winnipeg, a couple times, and they find a way to stay in this game. Give me +9.5 with Toronto in the Grey Cup. You guys tune into the 104th edition. The Grey Cup in the CFL has been going longer than the NFL, and was the place that a lot of African-Americans went to play football when they couldn't play in the NFL. So you guys tune into that one. Also, I give you guys a college football play. You know what I always say, if the line looks funny, it's probably money. So we're going to roll this week with once again, Illinois is in this spot. It's something that the books are seeing that they don't believe too much in the line now. So we're going with Michigan State plus 3 on the road. I trust Jonathan Smith to get it done. Illinois is missing their running back. They're also missing their top receiver. They're also missing their best player on defense, Dylan Rosette, who got hurt just this past home game against Minnesota when we faded them with Minnesota plus 3. Something that the books are seeing. If the books don't trust you, I don't trust you. So I'm going with Michigan State and Jonathan Smith plus 3 on the road to Illinois.
Quick note for those out here in California, and I know we got a lot of viewers in Texas as well. If you're tailing 5 stars play on that CFL, you're going to find the 9.5 at Bet Online. On Bookmaker, it's already down to 8.5. So go to Bet Online. I just placed it on Bet Online there. And I had to pass over Bookmaker on this one. Cino.
Appreciate
the ball in parlay.
I'm going to run back the team I gave out on the free play the other day, and it was a loser. I'm going to take the Rams, man. The Rams, they won 3 of their last 4 games, and the Patriots lost 3 of their last 5 games. L.A., the better team offensively. They struggled to get in the box at home, man. I don't think the Patriots are going to be as successful offensively because the Rams, they can control the run. Their defense is real, real good at that. And this is the same spot the Rams were in whenever they played the Vikings, and they won that game. They were underdogs. They won. I think the Rams come right here, blow this team out, just how they did the Vikings, and it should be an easy win over the goddamn New England Patriots. So we're taking the Rams minus 4.5.
Oh, man. I'm going to be opposite you there, Cino.
Good luck, my brother.
Yeah, I like the Patriots too.
I got to switch it up.
Good luck, you guys. All right, well, Cino's going to do this. I'll make this a raw play because, again, they're 10-0 in this spot, or they'd be 11-0. So you got a free 5-minute bet from Cino. Rams minus 4.5.
You heard it right there. He said
The reason we opposite Cino is I think that Drake May is a little underrated by the market right now. He's been excellent so far this season, and I'm just trying to catch a little value before everybody catches up. So that'll be a fun one for us. And, you know, we know the viewers all love it when we're on opposite sides, you know, so I'm sure they're all going to be chirping. You never get a congratulations, though. They always just chirp the loser here.
That's it, right? Like when we all won the Cardinals, we was all on the Cardinals game. Nobody came and said, "Oh, you." Nope. They just.
Yeah. Well, you lose, you get a bunch of messages. What you got for us, though, Spread? All right, then I'm going to have to pivot, but it's a game we already talked about. I'm going with the Denver Broncos. I'm going to lay it against the Falcons outdoors. At this time of year, we're fading a lot of dome teams outdoors, and I really like the way that Denver Broncos defense looks. I know they got housed against the Ravens, but they bounced back against the Kansas City Chiefs team, and I'm thinking this team is focused, ready to go. And then I had already bet it, but I love what Five Star said about that Atlanta connection there with Sean Payton. I actually didn't make that in my original handicap, but that just makes me like the Broncos even more. There's no way that can be a net negative for Denver being familiar with that organization and also having some built-in hatred for that organization. So give me the young man, Bo Nix, going against the old man, Kirk Cousins, and I'll take the Denver Broncos minus 2.
All right, you heard it there. 5 Star, I'm giving out the Toronto Argonauts plus 9.5 as well with the fighting Michigan State Spartans plus 3 on the road against Illinois, and another if the line looks funny game. And then you heard Cino, he booking both his OGs. We both taking the Patriots up top, and he's going with the Rams. He said 5 units, dog. So if you a Cino believer, here's your chance right here. -4.5, a 5-unit play for my young boy. And then right here, you heard what Spread just said. Me and them both agree also on the fact that we think the Broncos dominate the Falcons on the road. Anything for the people, Cino, before we get out of here?
Nah, man, you got the ball in parlay. You got 4 official free plays somewhere up in between the other audio, man. Shout out to the Wager World. Let's keep winning. We back, baby.
Yes, sir. Anything for the people, Spread.
Yeah, NBA Cup action tonight. Just a quick word of wisdom there. These totals are going to seem a little inflated, and you're going to want to play a lot of unders. But remember, in the NBA Cup, point differential is a tiebreak, and then points scored is a tiebreak. So a lot of times these games are higher scoring than we project. Just something to keep in mind for the people as they're betting the NBA Cup. And those games will be every Tuesday and Friday for the next 3 weeks.
As always, great words of wisdom from the OG of the show. Great handicapper, man. Let's Spread. Hey, guys, we appreciate you for tuning in another week down. You guys hit that like button. It's week 12 college football. That's almost a wrap. We're about to get into bowl season soon. And week 11 on the NFL, it happened so fast. So that means stack your bankroll while the getting is good. Hey, man, if you know, you know. That's what this show is all about, man. You guys have to tell the people, tell your squad, let them know that if they want to win some money, come over here. It's if you know, you know. You know you're going to win with the Wager World because it's always for you guys. It's us versus the machine. Hit that like button, as I said. Subscribe, tell your friends, subscribe. I dedicate this show, as always, to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's John H. Lindsay. We'll see you guys next week. This is The Wager World.